We got a late ass reunion. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
In a post-apocalyptic... Actually, no. Here, could you start doing something for me?
What?
Usually in post-apocalyptic movies, there's like a thudding soundtrack, so could you just start going do-do-do-do-do-do like that? Just do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Now? Oh.
Sorry. 3, 2...
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
They always do that. Anyway, sorry. In a post-apocalyptic world, a family is forced to live in silence while hiding from monsters with ultra-sensitive hearing.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
That's an understatement.
Fuck this movie. In the best
way. In the best way.
Like One Night Stand, fuck this movie. Like,
is that the best way?
Dirty, dangerous, drunk, stupid, fuck this movie. I don't know how else to put it. It's done that well.
It's
just good.
Incredible.
It's not just a horror movie.
No.
You could say it's a horror movie. If you had to qualify it, you could say horror, but I'd say it's more of a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Like the horror elements are more, like, I don't know, based upon...
The horror elements are based on tension.
Yes, thank you. Tension. That's what I'm looking for.
Movie,
it's, yeah, they build that tension, and then and then the release is. But the release isn't a full, like, eh. It's more like a eh.
Yeah.
Like, oh
god.
Exactly. Like, and you're not 100% happy with the resolution, and even the ending is a bit mixed.
Yeah.
You know, everything about this movie is fucking mixed. I mean, from the beginning, the first 5 minutes. By the way, before we get into any of that, spoilers,
mm-hmm.
if you haven't seen it, go watch it. If you haven't yet, why are you listening? That's not the right way.
Yeah, no, so absolutely go watch it.
We hate saying that, but like, we would never say don't listen to a segment unless you've seen a movie. But mm-hmm. this is like, go listen to this after you see that. Sorry, it took my brain a while to be like, wait, yeah, this after that, but that first, then this. So if you can wrap your head around that. Don't forget, our links are all in the description below. Everything for the podcast, which you're already there. Hey, thanks for doing that. You can subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, all the other stuff. Wherever you can find podcasts, obviously. Spotify, that's the new one.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The YouTube channel. Like, go check that out. Oh, yeah, Simmer Mike is the YouTube channel, by the way. Simmer Mike, that's the thing. Go check it out. All caps. Mm-hmm. Anyway, before we get into... overall spoilers and what it's all about, and then after that we're going to get into the facts. We've got some trivia here that's really awesome, crazy wacky trivia, behind the scenes stuff about this movie that I had no idea, and it's fascinating. We're going to geek out about that after we do our review.
Okay.
The first half is going to be review, second half geek trivia about it and what the hell happened behind the scenes. Just fun little interesting nuggets that it's like, what the really? I had no idea that one guy, the old guy, was just a puppet. He was a puppet. It wasn't a real old man. It was Jim Henson Company came down, built this old man puppet. No, I'm fucking with you.
Why? Don't do that.
No, see? God. But what if it was real? That's what's coming up. So you got that look. What the fuck? That's a terrible tease. Anyway, so what? Before we get into that full-blown review and then obviously trivia, what did you think? Let's just boil it down in the beginning. What did you think?
I loved it. This movie has Oscar buzz, which is absolutely fitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It tugs at your heartstrings for sure.
Yeah, that's for... Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just everything's done really well.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, from the cinematography, which is fantastic,
mm-hmm.
and then the acting, which is great. I mean, again, not a very dialogue heavy film. Clearly,
it's clearly not.
We were talking through the whole thing. We could have done our own commentary. We should have recorded our own commentary for that.
We
that would have been pretty fucking amazing.
But that
we were literally like, oh, I bet this is gonna happen. And oh, look, they're smart. They're using sand.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
right,
they like. having so little dialogue in a movie is really hard because you have to, you know, communicate everything through your expressions, and everyone did a really good job at that.
Oh yeah, I bet. I mean, this is something I'm like, damn it, you're right. We should have seen it in theaters because this is one of those movies where you're just like, oh man, like the experience of seeing it in a theater, I assume would have been, even if it wasn't packed, just like how quiet it would be and eerie that would feel and how awkward it would be.
Yeah.
Simultaneously being cool.
And also in a movie theater, I felt like would have been even more effective because once again, a movie with so little dialogue also relies on its musical and sound cues.
Yes, big time.
And that was done so well in this. Now I want to touch really quick on, like, 5 years ago, I would say it's really hard to find good kid actors. Because it's true, you know, 5-10 years ago, the kid actors that were around weren't great. And
what does that mean?
I'm just saying that,
like, Curl. What about Curl from Walking Dead? I mean, he's dead now, but I mean, well, the actor's alive, but he was good.
Well, no, yeah, but I'm just saying in general, most kid actors aren't great. But in the last, like,
most kid actors are terrible. That's a horrible thing to say.
It's true.
Is it?
The kids in this movie. Great job.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Like those, yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. It's like Stranger Things is kind of based on that same kind of Stephen King model, like Stand By Me. Remember?
Yeah.
And that's another Stephen King story where it's like a group of kids go and against all odds overcome evil or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil is Kiefer Sutherland with a mullet. Is that the evil in yeah, Kiefer Sutherland with a mullet.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Lost Boys?
No, he's in Lost Boys as well.
He also has a mullet.
Mm-hmm. Mullet in Lost Boys. Mullet in, I think he has like a blonde or bleach blonde thing in Stand By Me.
No, you're thinking of Lost Boys.
And maybe he has like an earring. He has a motorcycle. He just hangs with the gang, right? That's, yeah, Stand By Me.
Oh,
Kiefer Sutherland, Jack Bauer. Anyway. Fucking, what are we... Oh, yeah, A Quiet Place. So, John Krasinski's brilliant. He directed this. We have some more credits going on here. But I'm sorry, what were your overall thoughts about, like, you know, obviously, the cast was great. You were mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
And the actors they had were fantastic.
Correct? And the fact that John Krasinski did the movie with his real-life wife.
Right.
Emily Blunt.
Which,
obviously, their on-screen chemistry was great.
Which is another thing, the writing of this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, and then we kind of get to those credits. We got Brian Woods. There's a screenplay by Brian Woods, Scott Beck, John Krasinski, and it's based on a story by Brian Woods and Scott Beck. So Krasinski helped kind of adapt that, and he directed it. Obvi. We've got Emily Blunt as the mom, Abbott, the Abbott family, John Krasinski, Millicent Simmons, Noah Jupe, Kate Woodward, Leon Russom. Leon Russom is the man in the woods, the puppet from Lucasfilm that they built. Leon Russom is the Muppet.
I want to touch on what was it, Millicent?
Regan.
So
wait, I think yeah.
Regan. It's Regan.
Sorry.
You know, actually, we'll touch on her later when we get into the plot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
We'll touch
because,
on her later when we get into
legit,
the plot.
There's a legit reason.
Yeah.
This movie kind of just, like, literally, the first 5 minutes, that it's like an It. Like, and I hate bringing up the It moment, but, like, in It, in the story, the first 5 minutes, they let you know that they're not fucking around because, like, there's little Timmy. And there's a little, hey, little Timmy. And it's like, I'm fucking, and little Timmy's killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that moment where they're kind of scoping around in an abandoned supermarket.
Yep.
And they're barefoot. And obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is one of those movies where they don't tell you up front why it's quiet. And you don't know why it's quiet. And you don't know if it's zombies or if it's people going crazy. Or you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you just know they have to be quiet. To the point where they have laid out paths of soft, soft sand that they could just kind of tippy-toe on.
Yeah.
And,
I'm
amazed.
They
where do they get all that fucking sand? Like, I just couldn't
get
over that. Like,
beach.
There's so much. What?
They live by a beach.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they gotta sift through all that sand, though. Like,
yeah.
You know, these rocks and shit.
Which is something else
Twigs.
That we'll talk about.
Yeah, wouldn't they have all the time to do that? Because they gotta sift through that. That makes no... Anyway, the waterfall? Because there's a waterfall thing. fuck, so many moments, and there's not a lot of dialogue, so you're literally just remembering, like, scenes,
mm-hmm.
The action moments, like moments that stick out to me are like the nail.
Well, but
and
wait, let's
the waterfall. Like, I can just like say words, and
yeah.
you know what I mean,
because yeah, exactly.
it's like that's how this movie's made, which is really well done.
Yeah. But going back to the plot, so yes, they're in this grocery store. It's a family of five, the parents and two kids.
Starts
three
off
kids.
That way.
The youngest,
sorry, that's
I'd say probably about 5 or 6, maybe even 4. He was a little kid.
I think he was 6, honestly. He looked like he might have been about like 5 to 6. I guesstimating. I mean, he reminded me of my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
He was about 6 years old last time I was like hanging out.
Yeah.
So he looked about that age.
And he sees this rocket ship toy and he
mm-hmm.
wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad sees it and he's like, no.
Well, first he almost drops it, which indicates right away that he's young and he doesn't understand what, you know, to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the little kid almost drops it, and the what was it? Did his sister drop in and save it?
Yeah, his sister caught
she
it.
She swooped in
mm-hmm.
and caught that shit, which was cool.
And so the dad,
mm-hmm.
John Krasinski,
Beardy Krasinski,
takes, not only does he take the toy, because this is important and this is something that I have noticed in when some other people have talked about this film, he takes the batteries out of the toy
and
then puts the toy down. So he takes two preventative measures here.
Right.
And then they're like, he's like, it's too loud.
No, we can't. Sorry.
We can't.
Yeah.
We have to go. So the family leaves, but the sister Reagan and the little boy hang behind. And she smiles and gives him the battery-less toy.
Right.
And then they leave.
I think he took the batteries out of his flashlight. I don't think... They should have showed that. They should have showed him, like, opening up his flashlight.
I don't
and
know
then
if
they
he...
should have, like, then you should have heard it. That I think that would have been an indicator. Because otherwise, we didn't see the batteries. So we assumed it was battery-less.
Yeah, we assumed it was battery less, but he came out last.
Mm-hmm.
So
he either
what?
Got him again.
He grabbed the batteries.
Yeah, most likely.
And put them back in the toy and then went to meet up with his family.
Argue, that's what I'm saying. If people want to argue the other side, which is, well, no, he didn't have time to get those batteries or whatever, be like, well, then you could argue he took them out of his flashlight and put them in there just to see what it would sound like.
No, that's not what people are saying. People are thinking that Reagan put the batteries back in the toy and gave them back to him.
No, she wouldn't do that.
Which she wouldn't do that.
Oh, fuck no.
She wouldn't do that.
People are saying that?
We'll get into that in a minute.
What?
So,
uh-oh.
She...
Wait, are you going to drop that point and then I got to like...
No, I'm not going to drop that point.
Bring
so,
it up later and you're like, oh, I don't remember.
So they're walking
okay.
across this bridge and the little boy stops... Takes the rocket ship out.
Oh, yep.
And then he turns it on.
And, he's like,
and it starts making lights and sounds.
And he's like playing with it, obviously.
Yep.
Because it's fun. And Krasinski just starts
running,
bolting, and Emily Blunt's crying.
Yeah, and
she's
honestly,
pregnant, by the way.
We don't know that till later, but yes.
She's very pregnant.
Not at that point.
Maybe she's knocked up at that point.
No, she's not pregnant at that point.
No, maybe he like banged her, but they didn't know she was knocked up yet.
No, she's not pregnant at that point.
Come on.
But she's pregnant a year later.
I wasn't really paying attention to
clearly.
That part. a lot
okay.
happened in the beginning that
so,
fucked my head up, and I'm like, I don't even know about pregnancy.
The way, and this scene was in the trailer, and the way it was presented in the trailer, you think that Krasinski's going to get to him at the last second.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
At this point, the things are revealed.
Right, yeah. It's this scene is like, the reason why we're going so into detail about this opening scene is because it's crucial to setting up all of the characters
mm-hmm.
in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's like, you know, because we don't have a lot of time, because there's not a lot of dialogue, but in this first opening scene,
mm-hmm.
like you get Krasinski thinks ahead. You get that
yes.
Emily Blunt is you know, she's very aware of the situation and she's trying to, she's like, we got to go. The sun's
mm-hmm.
coming down. We got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's communicating in sign language. You get that the little kid is very careless right away because he almost drops it. You get that the daughter is very quick and smart and
mm-hmm.
she's very, you know, she's capable. And the son, the older son, is very afraid. He's very traumatized and very fucked up by this,
mm-hmm.
the other son. So you get like who they all are. Just in that basic interaction,
mm-hmm.
just at the very top. I was, and I was going to say, like, before the review that if they wanted to promote this thing, they could have shown, like, part of that first 10 minutes or however long that intro is as promotional material, like, for, like, just when they start walking out, you know?
Yeah.
And then they sort of, like, fade away or something. That would have been, like, cool, just an online. Maybe they did put a clip like that online. I don't know, but that was just tremendous way of introducing these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, you think, you hope that Krasinski's going to make it. But I knew, I knew right away that, oh, no, that kid's gone. Like, he's gone. Yeah. I just knew, like, right away. I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen.
I know. I thought he might survive, mainly because of the PG-13 rating.
Yeah, but, oh, it was PG-13?
Yeah, it was PG-13.
I thought it was R-rated, to be honest with you. It was, I didn't even notice.
But if you think about it, there's two gory scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't curse at all, from what I
remember.
Everything's
pretty quick, you know? Yeah. Even the gory scenes aren't really that, quote-unquote, gory, you
know?
Well,
that's something we'll get into later.
Well, I mean, in comparison to what I was expecting. Because I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be, like, bloody body horror. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Like, people getting ripped apart, which they are, but you don't really see it, which it's more effective that way. Mm-hmm. It's always better, like, horror and gore and violence. Like, when you use it more suggestively and you leave more of it up to the imagination, it's kind of like the same way with sexuality. It's when it's more suggestive,
mm-hmm.
it's more tantalizing, it's more fucked up.
Yeah.
If you play with that. And that's why I think this movie is really successful in that it plays with all of that stuff, the mm-hmm. thriller aspect, the horror elements,
mm-hmm.
the depressing post-apocalyptic stuff, and even the loving family, like, family overcomes, love triumphs over evil,
mm-hmm.
shit like that, which isn't shit. It's good stuff, and it's good to know that this family survived, and that they're very clever, too. You find out that they're all very smart. They're all very clever, except, well, I hate being such a dick, because it's too soon, but they're all smart except one of them, and you find out which one at the very beginning. And the movie starts, it says, A Quiet Place, right after he dies.
Yeah. And then,
and you're like, oh,
I don't
man,
think it's
Krasinski's
not, it's not that he wasn't smart, it's that he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, they don't understand kids that young. And I felt the same way, and I said this during the movie, I felt the same way in the It situation. I said, as much, as terrible as seeing something like that is, I feel like it's necessary to set the tone for these types of movies,
mm-hmm.
because in the It scenario, it's a small child being approached by a clown.
Uh-huh.
So they're more trusting and open to that sort of situation.
Right.
And in this situation, it's just a small boy who just wants to play.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't understand.
It's a kid. He's trying to be a kid. And the other kid, the older one, like, he's all fucked up about it. He's all traumatized. And the daughter, she's messed up, but she's, like, dealing. She's just, like, tough.
Because
she's toughened up.
She's kind of tough by default, though, because she feels...
Let's get into that. Yeah, this actress and the part and the actress in tandem.
Yeah, well, she blames herself and also thinks that her father blames her.
I'm talking about the actress and the role in tandem both have in common the disability of the hearing.
Yeah.
They aren't able to hear, and that's why the family was able to survive right away at the beginning mm-hmm. of this sort of... I think they call them boondoggles. What do they call them? Boonies? Boondoggles?
I don't think they give
Bonnaroos.
Them a name.
They call them Bonnaroos. Yeah, so they call them the Bonnaroos, are running around, and basically it's sound. Obviously, they have very sensitive hearing. She doesn't hear, but she communicates in sign language, and the family, by default, communicates via sign language. So they're like, shut the fuck up. These things can hear really well. Everyone be quiet. Perfect. We already know how to talk, guys. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they got smart after that, or they already were, and... They're like frontier family, you know. Mm-hmm. They've got jars of shit in the basement. They've got like bags of wheat. Like
they're on a farm.
Yeah, they're already farming, or they. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if that was already their home or if they like escaped there.
I think that was their house.
Okay, so they were already out there. They're already doing that shit. They're already out in the woods and shit, living off the land. Okay,
but
with Beardy Krasinski,
and this is
magnificent with his beard.
And this is something else that I said during the movie. In this situation, I felt like having a deaf character was both a strength and a weakness. Because obviously they were all able to speak sign language
but
already,
she
so they had
hear
a way to communicate. But she couldn't hear at all. So in turn, she can't hear how loud she's being when she's doing anything.
That's a really good point. I mean, they well, and Krasinski's like tinkering with her old hearing thing because it's all broken, and he's been trying to fix it.
She had cochlear implants,
so she could kind of hear at one point. So she can. Mm-hmm. She does have a basis for comparison. But also, I felt like, yeah, maybe she can't hear, but she can feel vibrations, and she can, you know what I mean? Like in her feet, she could even feel vibrations coming, like, for, you know, like they, there's mm-hmm. that, there's, the, I don't know what they call that, but it's like, you can feel the vibrations like on your skin, even mm-hmm. like, even though it's like far away, not even just wind, but yeah. like feel the sound. It's like, it's bizarre, but mm-hmm. people who lose their hearing or lose other senses, they, mm-hmm. they get a fine tune other senses. So maybe they might have something in common with the creatures.
Yeah. And I actually think that, if they hadn't released that information, or that information hadn't been released, that mm-hmm. the character was deaf, that you were supposed to find out when you see Krasinski's character fixing the cochlear implant, because they never mention it.
That's right.
They
I know.
Never directly
that's
say
that's
anything about it.
That's kind of a spoiler. Like, the media jumped all over that, and they're like, hey, this is the deaf actress that was in the film. And I'm like, is that what, is it okay to call her deaf? Is that what you call them? Deaf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they feel offended by that?
No.
All right. So, sorry. I don't know. I'm worried about calling, if they're deaf and they're calling them deaf, and it's like someone blind. Is it okay to call them blind? Yeah,
yes.
They're blind. If they can't hear, they're deaf. Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know if it's offensive anymore. It's like it used to be. You could say one term before, but you can't say that now. Sorry. This is a new Brave New World. Brave New World. So, he's very clever, and he's trying to like learn how to fix it, and you know. He's trying to help her, but yeah, she has kind of a disability, kind of an advantage too, mm-hmm. clearly with the sign language, but also I think with other senses being heightened, mm-hmm. I think she might be able to sort of pick up on things like in other ways that the family might not be able to pick up on. Like mm-hmm. maybe, hey, like guys, maybe your feet are stomping too loud. Maybe she told him about the sand thing. She's mm-hmm. maybe she's like, I can feel your feet when you walk. Like I can't really hear you. Like, they maybe experimented with like other padding on their feet or something, or like different kinds of shoes. But like, she may have been like our feet, they can feel it. I can feel it. You know, like, I'm assuming that might have been in my head. I'm trying to think like how much more valuable she is to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's invaluable, obviously, and her daughter being the daughter as well. So they're very smart, and they're all surviving in this frontier style way. They have, everything has to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And then we look down, and Emily Blunt is super pregnant.
Yep.
Like, about ready to pop pregnant. Like 9 months and done. Ready to go. Bun is in the oven.
Yeah.
It is not, it's go time. Like, let's wrap this shit up. Like, that's that pregnant. So
which,
pregnant.
There are two things stupid about that, and I pointed that out during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, I know that you're like husband and wife and you love each other, but when you're in a situation where you have to be absolutely silent at all times, why are you doing it?
Well, maybe they, I don't know, I'm hoping, because as smart as they are, I was like, in my head, like, they just wanted to be intimate and they wanted to be close.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't have access to birth control stuff. Which I don't know if that's true, because they could have just broken into that pharmacy and gotten shit, but whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe they just wanted to hook up, and then it's like, well, it's like, don't worry, I'll do the old, you know, the old, who's your dad?
But
sorry,
I mean,
that's
this is
up.
Where the suspension of disbelief comes in, because that definitely added another level of danger.
Mm. Or you, yeah, like, cause she could scream, and then like not only her screaming, but then the baby comes out and it will not stop. And then to the point where you see that they have a soundproof crib that they made with an oxygen mask for the mm-hmm. baby when it's born to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. So right now you're like, okay, they've got to survive. It's already rough.
Mm-hmm.
She's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's heightened. It's like, not only is it just them surviving day by day, but it's just her living through this pregnancy and having the baby, and them being prepared for it.
Yeah, which there's ugh. One extra scene that I want to touch on that really, really is relevant to their chemistry, obviously, mm-hmm. as a couple. And there's a scene where, you know, everyone's kind of frustrated and and Emily Blunt comes downstairs and she's listening to headphones, and her and John Krasinski start dancing.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
she like gives him the earbud and puts it in his ear. Moment. That was a beautiful moment. There were a lot of those. Yeah.
The father son moment when mm-hmm. they're at the water, like the son's like, he goes, "We have to be quiet, Dad. We have to be quiet." And he's like, "No, it's okay. Small sounds are okay, but large sounds aren't, because this is covering that sound up, you know." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I'm scared, you know." And he's like, "Here," and he takes him to the waterfall and he screams. Yeah. And the kid's like, "What?" And he's like, "Look, see, it's loud. As long as there's something louder than us, mm-hmm. it's okay, you know." And so that was a beautiful moment between mm-hmm. them, where they could, you know. There's another moment where Emily Blunt's like teaching. She's trying to teach him like stuff.
Math.
She didn't teach him math.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Okay." But, you know, mainly he's like, "I'm just worried." And she's like, mm-hmm. "Like, you know, just we're seeing like how they're surviving and how mm-hmm. they're getting by in this fucked up like situation."
Which leads to the beginning. I will admit, uh-huh. like, I didn't really notice it, but people who were going into this for a horror movie, a straight up horror movie, I will tell you that the first half of this movie will probably feel slow to you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
But I was so wrapped up in how good it was that I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the horror doesn't really kick in. The horror doesn't really kick in until the until the pregnancy kicks in.
Well, yeah,
right when she starts, like, she's like, her water. Know what it is? It's the nail.
The nail.
That's what it is. We said this few scenes: the nail, the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
The nail is the other one. There's a lot of other ones too. Obviously, the bathtub. That's coming up. Don't worry. What else? God, the car.
Well, so there's a point in the movie that kind of sets off this domino effect of events where they're all separated mm-hmm. from each other. Yeah. The daughter has gone back to the bridge yes. to visit her brother. They put up a little grave marker there. The father and son are at the waterfall, and Emily Blunt is back at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all separated.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
Emily Blunt's doing laundry. She's pulling the laundry up the stairs. She pulls a nail up without realizing
it. She's like trying to get this. It's like a sack of potatoes or some shit.
It's a sack of laundry. And she's like, "Fuck, stuck on the stairs.
Fucking sack. God yeah. damn it, I'm pregnant." And then she just
pulls it
final
up.
Final pull and the nail pops up. So many foreshadowing moments yep. in this movie like that, where you're like, uh-oh, someone's going to step on that shit because they're all barefoot.
Yep, so she goes upstairs. And then decides to come back downstairs for some reason.
Well, she's pregnant, right? She was like yeah. freaking out, and she was like, "I'm pregnant, and I'm having problems." She doesn't say anything. This is in my head. I'm crazy. She steps on the nail.
Yep.
Because she's trying to get ready to have the baby. And she wants to scream.
Oh, yeah, her water had
broke.
Remember,
her water broke.
So she went down. They were soundproofing a room. So mm-hmm. she went down to she was going down to the soundproof room.
Exactly.
And she stepped on a nail.
And that's when all hell starts to break loose because yeah. her foot starts getting all fucked up. She's having the baby. She's trying to like pull the red lights, which is a great little yes. warning thing. They got red lights, Christmas lights, all of which we talked about. They may have a generator, because I don't know where the lights, because the generators make noise.
There were a couple plot
holes.
Is there
an underground generator that's in a soundproof room?
That were pointed out that weren't addressed in the movie, and that was where they got running water, where they got lights, where they
right.
got that stuff.
Not, again,
stuff.
Minor qualms. I mean, this is not, no, like, these issues, I'm totally willing to look past all that mm-hmm. shit, because it's like, it's so well done.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta have certain elements that make it a compelling drama mm-hmm. in order to move things along. And there's a lot of stuff that happens in real life where tragedies happen where it's like, that's so stupid, how could that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh well, it's that's how it happened. Real life is often stranger than fiction, so it's like, that would never happen. Or actually, you'd be surprised the kind of crazy shit that actually happens
yeah.
to lead to these crazy tragedies. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, or these horrible moments. So yeah, anyway, back to the film. So oh god, where are we leaving? Okay, so she's yeah, okay. Krasinski's trying to get back because now he sees him and the kid are trying to get back because he sees the lights. The daughter sees the lights. She's out and about. Where's she? She's out and about.
No one. No. The daughter's hanging out on the bridge.
Oh, so she's by herself at the bridge.
She's by herself at the bridge.
She blames. Yeah. And by the way, we've mentioned she blames herself
mm-hmm.
for the son dying, but also Krasinski blames himself for the son dying because he didn't get to the son on time.
Yes. So therefore,
they're both
she
kind of
thinks,
fighting on. Yeah.
She thinks that Krasinski blames her. So yeah. their relationship.
And he thinks that she, you know, he has a weird guilt thing. We find out later that he has a weird guilt thing too, because he feels like he should have taken over, like not taken over, but you know what I mean? Like you kind of get these vibes later on.
Yeah. Which is actually just one more thing. That's one more plot hole that was, but I get it.
Yeah, whatever.
People are like, why was the youngest kid at the back of the line?
Yeah, why weren't they watching
Why was
him?
He left alone?
But Emily Blunt did say, I should have been watching
I
him.
I should have been carrying him.
Yeah,
I could have carried
but
him.
I wasn't. I was tired. Or I had all those provisions. Yeah,
no matter, you could be the best parent in the world, and when you're in a situation like that, you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, totally.
It's going to happen. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, suspension of disbelief.
Well, it's all a post-apocalyptic world. Like, no one knows how to do that right.
But
like, that's new.
When Emily Blunt steps on the nail, she knocks down a picture frame, which shatters.
Fuck. Yeah, that's right.
And so while the son is on the way, the father and son are on the way back to the house.
So the boondoggles
come over.
Yeah.
Comes over, yeah.
The Bonnaroos hear that.
Emily Blunt turns. Yeah, they have this system of white lights, and then you can switch them to red lights when something bad's going down.
Yeah.
Either as a warning system for the monsters, or it was set up when she went into labor. We're not entirely sure.
Oh, but we do see Krasinski's workstation where he's trying to fix the ear thing, and we get clues as to what's going on, right? Like, we get, like, visual cues. Like,
yes.
Like, we know how many critters there are in that area.
Mm-hmm. There have been three
yeah,
confirmed.
Yeah, they're packs. They only hunt in, like, small packs. Like, only packs of, like, three in a certain area or whatever. But they're all over the place. But in their little nook, they know there are three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So that's the good news. But
which
they're
makes
fucking
sense.
They're massively powerful. It's like, imagine,
they're super fast.
God, I don't even know. Like, imagine a horse on crack, but it's like a tiger horse on crack that has
it's
wings.
It's like Aragorn from Harry Potter with scales.
Ooh.
On crack.
Remember
it's like giant spider.
Remember the first Cloverfield? Did you see that? The first Cloverfield?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where the big monster, mm-hmm. but it looks like a bat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like a small version of Cloverfield monster.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's
yeah.
what the Bonnaroos look like, a mini Cloverfield, which is still big.
But
a gray,
yeah.
gray Cloverfield.
And actually, this is where the two gory scenes, I'd say, true gory scenes in the movie come into play.
Ooh.
The first one is...
Bathtub?
The bathtub.
Oh, I knew
Emily
it.
Blunt is
that
in
scene.
Labor,
oof.
Hiding from the monster, trying to be as quiet as possible, and she gets into the bathtub, and you just see, there's nothing graphic, obviously, it's PG-13,
right.
but you just, like, the amount of blood that you see in the bathtub
mm-hmm.
from her was really unsettling to me.
It was a trickle.
It
was a subtle, like, Krasinski does these little, his directing style is very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
He does this really, like, sort of like, it's like, oh yeah, and by the way, There's some blood coming. It's like, oh, dude, gross.
Well,
yeah,
it was
like,
more than a trickle, which made me...
Well, it started off as a trickle, and then...
Yeah,
but that's his style, though. You know, it's like that right there is how he did this movie, how he directed everything.
Mm-hmm.
It started off as a subtle thing, which led to this larger, surprising thing,
yeah,
which was really well done.
Which made me... I mean, I've never given birth before, but that amount of blood made me nervous. I didn't
Neither
know if that
I.
was a normal thing. So with how the movie started, I really thought, I was like... Is this how they're going to get out of a screaming baby? Is the baby not going to survive?
Oh,
is that,
that's fucked up.
Like,
yeah,
I really thought
right.
that was going to happen.
You're right. Well, you know, it's hard. Like, you know, a birth outside of a hospital
mm-hmm.
in modern times,
mm-hmm.
in a post-apocalyptic world, good luck. Holy
Especially,
shit.
Like, going through an entire pregnancy without any professional
yeah,
medical
she's
attention.
Either,
like,
she's, like, mothers, like, in without that sort of hospital assistance, like, in the wild,
mm-hmm.
even.
Yeah.
Well,
you,
they have, like, a, what's the mortality rate? It's something crazy.
I
like,
don't know. Yeah, you
like,
have no way of knowing whether the baby's healthy, whether you're healthy, whether, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Absolutely.
They did have some things in place, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, so she's in labor. Krasinski's running back. They're all trying to get back to her.
But while Krasinski and the son are trying to get back, they stop because they see this old man standing in the woods.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yeah, this is where we get to the Jim Henson Muppet.
And they look, all three of them look down at the ground, and you see this older woman who is dead. And
yeah,
she's,
this scene kind of just happened, right? Like... Right, there wasn't any build up to it. We didn't see any other people standing around up
no,
until
we
that
didn't.
Moment. We just look over and we see.
They showed like a decrepit house.
Yeah, but
right
we, yeah,
that.
That's right. Yeah, we did see that. But then other than that, and then we look over. There's just old beardy guy just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you're like, uh-oh, and you're like, what? And they look down.
And there's this woman who has been killed, who I assume was his wife,
because mm-hmm.
yeah, that would explain why he did what he did.
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
John Krasinski does the quiet,
he's
don't
like,
talk.
Dude, don't. He's like, please, just let us get out of here before
and
you do
that. And the old
man
just screams.
Well, he does take a big breathe-in moment where he's like,
yeah,
like that's it. We were trying so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, she finally, that's it. She's like, and he was like, that's it. And he's just like, oh, I've had it. And he's like, and there was a great, that was a beautiful moment. Like, it was like, that scene was like, I think less than a minute, maybe a minute at the most. But he, that performance
was great.
If that's the only film that gentleman ever does, he wins. Like,
he
that,
did a great
that,
job.
That stole the movie. Even, like, because that was such a brilliant moment that he stole the film with that.
Yeah.
Genuinely. That's, I mean, wow. Good for him. Very well done.
So then later it shows the Krasinski and the son make it back to the house. They see the red lights. They start running towards the house where Emily Blunt is. And they realize that they can hear the creatures in the cornfield.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And they're running.
John Krasinski sends his son to the rocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The fireworks display.
Yeah.
Distraction. Big old fuck you fireworks display. Like, hey, over here, motherfuckers, look at this shit. And they're like, they run. And that, and Emily Blunt, as soon as she sees the fireworks, she screams.
Yep.
So she could finally let out some yells. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, fuck. And then the Bonnaroos go running after it. And they take that opportunity to book it. And Krasinski gets to the bathroom, and you see that it's empty. And you're like,
it's
oh, fuck,
empty,
there's
and
blood
it seems
in
like
the
there
tub.
There's a lot more blood in the tub.
And I'm like... But then, you know, and just when you think they're going to, like, you know, you're going to move on and she's gone or she's dead, you see a hand pop up. They're in the shower. She's in the shower, I mean. So you realize, you're like in that moment, there's a weird continuity error to me where it's like, wait, did he forget? Did he forget they had a shower with, like, a door?
I don't think that was a continuity issue. I think it's understandable that when you look down and see a bunch of blood and you're worrying about what happened to your pregnant wife.
Yeah.
You know, because at that point he didn't know that she was in labor.
I know, but like you think he would have been like, well, she's not in the tub. Maybe she's in the shower.
Well, he really wasn't looking at the tub that long.
He would have just been like, oh yeah, check the thing behind me. But you're right. It's more dramatic for, you know, the audience to not see. I know that wasn't your point, but I think, like, in addition to your point, it's more dramatic for the audience to be like, what? Oh, she's gone. Oh, wait, shower.
Because at that point, everyone's wondering if she's dead because anything could have happened.
And they kind of gave you a false end on that. Like, she is, you know, like, she is dead or whatever. And you're
because that monster was at the top of the stairs.
And you saw the claw marks.
Yeah, like,
very creepy claws.
It was close enough to her that it could have heard her scream over the fireworks.
Well, good news is they get to her and the baby, and they get down to the basement. Baby's born. Put the baby in the baby box. Baby's in the baby box.
Which, for a second, honestly, I thought my suspicions were confirmed, because when they opened the shower, the baby wasn't crying, and I was like, the baby's not crying.
Baby's not crying. You kept wanting something even more tragic
to
happen.
No, I didn't. I was afraid.
I know, but you wanted something even more tragic to happen than what was already tragically happening to them at the time. That poor family was already going through enough hell as it was with the Bonnaroos. Those hipster monsters running around with their dreadlocks. Sorry. I don't know. In my head, that's what they are. So where did we leave off? Okay, so yeah, now baby's born. Baby's in the baby box. they're trying to survive. This is where I get lost on the plot, because things sort of happened at that point.
Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, baby are in the basement in the soundproof room.
Right.
The sister saw the fireworks from the bridge when ran back to the house. So at this point, the sister and her brother get reunited out in the cornfield, but the monsters are still there. So
right.
John Krasinski goes to find them.
Boom.
Emily Blunt is in the basement with the baby, at which point we realize that the basement is flooding.
Oh, right. And the baby might drown in the baby box, but it's floating.
It's floating.
But the lid's off. It's floating with the lid off, and the monster...
She wakes up
is
to
right
a floating
there,
baby, and the monster's waiting.
It's like, and these things are aquatic. These monsters are, yeah, you like, clearly they're capable of running really fast, but they're also aquatic. Like, in the woods, in the wild, just being really creepy.
Yeah.
No eyes. No, like, ears, but, like, they have a big hole in their head.
They're giant ears.
And their skull comes apart.
Yeah, it's like
they're kind of cool.
Demigorgon?
Yeah, they're like, I was just totally saying that, wasn't I? I was like, that looks like the Demigorgon.
Yeah, except if Demigorgons had, like instead of the front of their face opening, like the top of their head a bunch of times.
Kind of like their whole skull except their face open. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, the Demigorgon's face would open up and get all, like, Lovecrafty, this thing's skull opens up and gets kind of, I don't know, H.R. Geiger-y?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, but like with a hole in the center that's very sensitive, looks like a membrane kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that that's like a weak spot. That's why they have to have a skull thing there, because it's a weak spot. You know, mm-hmm. like that's the most sensitive part on them, most likely. So, but they always have it covered up. Well, so we'll get to, like, let's just like spoil the entire thing at this point, because we got to get to some pretty awesome trivia.
Yeah.
And we got to just give our overall thoughts on this.
So the daughter is in the cornfield, and the monster is behind her, and she can't hear the monster.
Right.
But
she has that busted hearing aid.
The cochlear implant.
Like, he's like, here, I tried to fix it. She's like, it's not going to work. Fuck mm-hmm. you. He's like, it's going to work. Fuck you. Not really. That's not how this went at all, but this is in my head. Again, I remember things differently. Most of the time, that's because it's a twisted filter. And she's like, look, I'm not going to try it. But she tries it, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, like, getting all, like, feedback loopy, like, ringing to the point that the creature runs off. And you're like, oh, shit, she's got, this thing is going to help save the day. Mm-hmm. It's gonna help. And so yeah. We cut to that. She's in the basement. It's coming after her. And she's like, fuck this. And she runs after it and corners it, puts the thing on her ear, like, just gets right by it to try and, to the point that it gets knocked out and it collapses.
Yeah. We skipped a big thing, but she takes it out of her ear and puts it up to a microphone, and then it gets knocked out. They think it's dead. It's not.
No,
and
it's
Emily
not.
Blunt shoots it in the head.
She has to, yeah, at that point. But there's a point where, like, obviously Krasinski, he sacrifices himself. The kids are in the car. Oh yeah, I mentioned the car scene. There's a car scene. They're in a car, they're hiding from the Bonnaroos, and Krasinski's like, well, I'll just sacrifice myself so they could run off. And so he runs out there and he screams. He's like, I love you. I've always loved you. Don't worry. I'm not mad at you, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think he killed. I feel like I did it. So he's gone. Twist, like, plot twist there. I didn't know that was going to happen.
No.
So he's gone. And now they just have to survive with the baby. And so they're at the point now where that monster collapses and it jumps at him, but its skull bits are all fucked up. It can't close its head anymore.
Yep.
So they're able to kill it. And they see on the security camera the other two are running.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, shit. And Emily Blunt, like, pops the shotgun, pops it. Yeah, she pops it like it's hot. She pumps it like it's ready to blow ass.
Cocks the gun.
If that's a term. And you kind of leave it there. It mm-hmm. ends. Like, you don't need to see what happens after that. You don't need to see them, like, yeah, fuck you. Psh, psh, you know, like, fuck you, Bonnaroos. Mm-hmm. Like,
beautifully done movie. Amazing.
Yeah,
great.
The whole thing, start
acting,
to finish.
Directing, writing, amazing.
So well.
I did not expect to fall in love with this family, so they made this horror movie really emotional.
Oh man, like the moment you start seeing everyone and all that, and mm-hmm. and the moment people, like, the, you know, the first moment, I didn't think that son was going to mm-hmm. die. I didn't think anyone was going to die right at the first 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, they and I'm like, well, it's like it. They're not fucking around. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's it. And the monsters, even though there's three of them, they're very powerful. And you're like, oh, shit, there's just three of them. And that's how bad it is with just three. And they're that quick. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where any of them are when they make a noise.
They get you in seconds.
So I have an idea that those things are always just kind of lurking nearby because they can still kind of hear them a little bit. So I have a feeling that they're always kind of lurking by them.
Yeah.
That's my feeling, is that there's three of them that are just kind of always stalking and looking for them, but they're not sure where they are. They just know that they're by certain areas.
Which makes sense, because if you think about it, they hunt based on sound, mm-hmm. so they're clearly in a small town in the
right.
middle of nowhere, so the majority of these creatures are going to be closer to the cities.
Yeah, so if there's any that are sort of, like, scattered, you know, randomly away from anywhere, it's mm-hmm. there's not going to be a lot of them. And the ones yeah. that will be, they're just going to, you know, probably just be concentrated on that one little area where people are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I can't gush enough about this. You can't say mm-hmm. enough good things about it. I guess, what do you think this would be nominated for? If for an Oscar? Let's predict the future again, shall we? We're really good at that on this show.
Best director.
Okay, best director.
Best screenplay.
Ooh.
Best original screenplay.
Which is funny because, you know, like how do you write this? You know, like it's just you're writing a lot of, you're just writing a lot of like, I guess, action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're just literally just exterior, you know, scene.
Yeah.
Figure, father figure running, like, you know, just stuff like that.
Best composition, because like I said, they relied a lot on musical cues and sound cues.
Mm-hmm. The storyboards for this must have been the hardest part of this movie. Making the storyboards for this fucking thing must have taken them like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it must have been a really easy one to storyboard. I mean, yeah, job well done. So let's rate it and then let's get into the trivia. Rating out of 10 things. I'm going to say Bonnaroos because that's what we've been calling them. The boondoggles, whatever they are. The Bonnaroos. Out of 10 of those, what do you give A Quiet Place?
I'm going to give it a 9.5, honestly.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm docking a point is because, yeah, there were a couple plot holes, just a couple things that took you out of it just a little bit.
Yes.
But I think that was, you know, this is the first type of movie like this.
Are you rating this as a horror movie or as just like a movie in and of itself? Like, I know that may not sound like they need to be mutually exclusive or whatever, but, you know, hear me out. Like, as a horror movie, I think it gets a higher rating for me, for me personally, but as just a regular movie, I think it gets sort of like, it gets a good one, but not perfect.
For me, I'm actually rating it as both because matter what, plot holes, like where did they get the water and the electricity was enough.
Ooh, yeah, the water,
took me out of it enough to dock half a point, but only half a point because John Krasinski, this is the first movie he's ever done like this, and he was able to pull off was incredible.
I looked at IMDb just obviously for what we needed. I didn't look at John Krasinski's full IMDb listing, even directing wise or writing wise. If he's done any other stuff, I guess let us know in the comments below or let us know in the future.
I'm under the impression that this is his first film.
Right.
Maybe, I'm assuming maybe he directed a couple episodes of The Office or something. But
yeah,
I
was
going
to say, he must have some kind of directorial experience that would lend him to doing this. Mm-hmm. Like to some kind of, I mean, I don't know. Because like, you mean the guy from The Office is going to direct it and star in it?
Yeah.
Okay, do we have to pay him more or the same? And he was like, if he offered to take a pay cut, then that's really smart. Because he also helped write it. It said story by, and I wonder if A Quiet Place was a book. And I didn't look that up either. Well, we'll find out. Let's get to the trivia. But yeah, so for me, based on as a horror movie out of 10 Bonnaroos on a horror movie basis, just as like if I was going to hold it up to other horror movies like Cabin in the Woods or whatever or Alien, I'd say it's like Cabin in the Woods meets Alien. No, sorry. Maybe Evil Dead meets Alien. Mm-hmm. I mean, like The Birds, it's like as a horror movie, I have to give it like a 9.5 as a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But as just a regular, not regular film, but as a film in comparison to like, you know, Citizen Kane, that's a stretch. But you know what I mean? Like that crazy. I would say a 9. Only because it's a damn good movie. It's damn near perfect, but you're right. All of those little things, all those little loophole things, I know it lends to, but you're sitting there, and if it's not very dialogue heavy, then it's hard to explain those loopholes and to get around it. You have to be more visual, and it's a bit harder to do that. And I'm not saying, like, they did a great job, but it's like, you know, you kind of have to be more precise, but whatever. Like, listen to us being like, you'll be more precise, do it better. It's fucking great. So for me, it's a 9.
Yeah.
It's overall 9, I'd say, but the highest rating I could give it as a horror movie would be a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
I feel if it was one or the other, I would have let it go. Like, if, you know, the water, them having running water, I feel like was unnecessary because they did live so close to a river, so they could have gotten out of that by using the river.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
And then I would have let the electricity thing go.
Totally.
But yeah. You're right.
All right. Well, okay, so for you, it's a 9.
9.5.
Oh, nice. 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a 9 for me. Sweet. Let's get to the trivias. All right, Brian Woods and Scott Beck's original screenplay contained only one line of dialogue.
Oh, wow.
Only one.
Did they say what it was?
Nope. The bathtub scene with Emily Blunt was done in one take.
Wow.
It's also Blunt's co-star and husband in real life. As soon as he said cut, Blunt immediately fell out of character and asked the crew, what's everyone having for lunch? That's funny. Let's see. The filmmakers purchased 20 tons of corn and hired local farmers to grow it. That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. This was shot in 36 days. About a month and a week. 36 days.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, it's very centrally.
Yeah.
It all takes place in 3 locations.
I guess a lot of it is like post-production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else do we got? Interesting. There are real family photos of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt and their children used in the film. Then the opening sequence that we keep talking about in the movie was the last one to be shot.
Oh, wow, really?
Because Krasinski had to shave most of his beard to indicate that time had passed. Yeah, because he had a full Spartan at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very beardy Krasinski. Oh, yeah, there was a rumor going around that Paramount Pictures originally intended to incorporate A Quiet Place into the studio's Cloverfield franchise. So remember how I said that it looked kind of like the Cloverfield monster?
That makes sense.
I don't know. That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
No one's saying on either side whether it's true or not, but they're saying that originally, quote unquote, it was meant to be a part of that franchise, but it has since not been linked up to that.
I'm kind
of
glad now.
Things don't need to be franchised. The screenplay for this was named one of the best scripts of the year back in 2017 before it was made.
Okay, well, that's probably where the Oscar nom is going to come in.
Yeah. The final look of the creature wasn't fully figured out until pretty late in the process during post-production.
Hmm.
I wonder if the Cloverfield connection explains why it was kind of Cloverfield-y.
Yeah.
During filming, the crew avoided making noise, so diegetic background noise sounds. So background sounds, e.g. the sound of rolling dice on a game board, could be recorded. The sounds were amplified in post-production. So real sound.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to use the real sound there and keep it real quiet so that you can't recreate that in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it in the actual space, it'll really sound like that. You know, it'll be more convincing. Which, yeah, smart. It's even harder to do.
Which actually, I have a fun fact about this movie to add in. They might mention it in here, but the scene with the lantern in the Monopoly game.
Oh yeah, they were playing Monopoly at one point. That was a fun
scene. The lantern, that was a live fire. And the kid actor actually insisted on having it be a live fire, so it was authentic.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. ILM designed the creature. He's also ILM's veteran visual effects wizard, Scott Farrar, who'd been responsible for some of the memorable effects in such films as Cocoon, 1985, starring Steve Guttenberg, Backdraft in 1991, starring Kurt Russell, and Transformers 2007, starring Shia LaBeouf. Directed by Michael Bay. Yeah. Doors are never opened or closed throughout the entire film.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, neither did I. Holy shit. The film marks the first time real-life couple John Krasinski and Emily Blunt star alongside each other.
Mm-hmm.
They both appeared in The Muppets 2011, but they did not share any scenes. Did not know that. Thank you, trivia, every time. Always blows my mind. I guess we'll do a few more here. The third feature film directed by John Krasinski, so that answers that question.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, let us know what the other two were. Partial filming for the movie took place in Little Falls, New York, and the significant location shooting took place on West Dover Road in Pawling, New York. While Evelyn is homeschooling her son Marcus at the back on a whiteboard, it reads the first 4 verses from Sonnet 18 by William Shakespeare. Oh, so remember how I said Alien?
Yeah.
Well, there's copious numerous musical cues from Jed Kurzel's score in Alien Covenant. So they used a lot of Alien Covenant sounds for this, we just watched that recently, so that explains why I'm thinking Alien. Sense memory, sound memory. Production designer Jeffrey Beecroft headed the creature design, and special effects supervisor Scott Farrar created the creatures. The inspiration was also drawn from Bog People. Cadavers that have been mummified in peat turned the skin black and giving it a sagging, leathery look. So like the Cloverfield monster, batty.
Yeah.
Batty monster. So now we get into the spoiler stuff, which, too late now. So here we go. So basically you see a lot of, so in Krasinski's little like laboratory or whatever in the basement, you can see a variety of newspaper articles on the wall with one headline proclaiming that a meteor hits Mexico with the force of a nuke. Potentially alluding to how the creatures got to Earth.
Oh, okay.
Like that might have been their ship, or that's how they got here. They were just like parasites on it. Who knows? Simmons actually made John Krasinski cry on set with a suggestion to change an important part of the script. During the climactic scene between Lee and his kids, the original script just had him signing "I love you." However, Simmons suggests that he should sign "I've always loved you," which made Krasinski cry.
Aww.
Right? See, that's, yep, there you go. As Regan visits her little brother's grave, you can see 2016 to 2020 inscribed on the head. So 6 years old, boom, called it. It was inscribed. Sorry,
four.
That's sad. That's
four.
Whatever, bad. I'm
also
bad at math.
Bad math.
I'm bad at math and letters and everything else. Which means the majority of the story takes place in the near future, circa 2021.
Yep.
I didn't see the years, so I'm like, when is this?
Me
when
neither.
Is this? The man in the woods who sacrifices himself is actually a Muppet designed by the Jim Henson Company. Brian Henson designed the... No, sorry. I keep fucking around with that. I'm such a trolling asshole. The man in the woods who sacrifices himself out of grief over his dead wife is played by Leon Russom.
I was right.
Russom played a character in season 2 of Prison Break 2005 who did not speak either. So he had another non-speaking role. God damn it, this guy can't get a break. He is getting breaks, but not really. Although it was to prevent his voice from being recorded.
What?
In Prison Break. His character was trying not to be recorded. That's why.
Okay.
Smart. Well, there you go. That's going to doozer for A Quiet Place. Tremendous, tremendous film. I can't gush enough about it
go
already.
Go see it.
Yeah, it's pretty damn great. I mean, if I had to pick like any sort of aspect of the film I enjoyed the most, something that like sticks out of note, a scene that I really connected with. Honestly, it's the opening just before it says A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's just as powerful as that moment.
Well,
in
yeah,
it
sets a tone for the entire movie.
I hate to say that it really stuck out and really like the rest of it just was the best part, obviously. But that setting the tone moment at the top,
mm-hmm.
that was like a teaser for like the rest of an awesome film.
Yeah,
that you know that could have just been a short film in and of itself. That moment, you know,
yeah.
Again, but even the rest of the film. Obviously, all of it was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, from start to finish, and even just knowing these facts just enriches all of it more for me. So good stuff. Again, A Quiet Place. We red boxed it because we didn't see it in theaters.
Yep.
But it'll probably be on Amazon or Netflix or anywhere else you can find the movies, wherever the movies are. The description is all of our links below. Check it out. That's how we roll or do it or whatever the kids say now. Whatever's cool, because that's what we are. What else? What's the other thing?
Instagram at @team_awesomeinc.
Oh yeah, we got our Marvel Museum photos up for Avengers and everything else.
They're up on the Facebook page.
Yo, check it out.
Yep.
And also Simmer Mike YouTube channel. Alright, we out.
Bye bye.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.